Hey, we're so glad you're here with us today. This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, and today we're continuing in an inspiring series, When You're Hoping for a Miracle. Now, in this series, Pastor Rick is guiding us through God's Word and showing us how to strengthen our faith and live with greater love, peace, patience, and self-control, even when life feels hopeless. Now, if you've been longing for a breakthrough, you're not going to want to miss this. All right, now here's Rick with part one of a message called When You've Come Up Empty.
If you've ever been around a fisherman, you know they have fisherman stories. And the more they tell them, they get what?
Bigger.
That's right. And I could tell you all kinds of real fun stories like catching sharks under the Golden Gate Bridge and all kinds of things. That a lot of fun. But we're going to look today at one of the great fishing stories of all time. And as we're in this series on miracles, particularly is how they relate to when you're going through turbulent times, there are many, many lessons that we can learn from this. If you've ever felt discouraged by your job, if you've ever felt like you're not getting anything accomplished, if you've ever felt fatigued and worn out after putting your heart and soul into something, and then maybe even losing your job, you picked a good Sunday to come to church. Because these parables or miracles are actually parables of truth that teach us lessons on what to do in tough times. Now, none of the fishing miracles that you've heard in your lifetime can match the one in Luke chapter 5. This is the second miracle of Jesus. So it's very early on in this ministry. He's only done one prior to it, which was turning water to wine at the wedding of Canaan. And we're going to look at this, that this is the miracle where he calls four of his disciples. Let me give you a little background. Four of the 12 disciples of Jesus were fishermen. Peter and Andrew were brothers, and James and John were brothers. And these four guys had a fishing business in northern Israel around the beautiful Lake of Galilee. It's called the Sea of Galilee. It's called Lake Gennesaret. It's called the Sea of Tiberias. Three different names for this same beautiful Lake Tahoe style lake in northern Israel. Now, at this point where we catch the story today, Peter, James, John, and Andrew are not disciples of Jesus yet. They're just professional businessmen. They make a living catching fish. They've been out all night fishing on the Sea of Galilee, Lake Galilee, and they've caught nothing. Nada, zero, zip. The lake is in recession. Okay, nobody's biting right now, okay? And they're going through really tough times in their job. They catch nothing, they've worked hard. They come ashore, and the next morning, after 10 hours of fishing, they are cleaning their nets on the shore. They're tired, they're discouraged, they've got empty buckets. And Jesus comes along, and he's talking to a crowd, and he asks these guys, "Can I use one of your boats as a platform to speak from?" We'll pick up the story in Luke chapter 5, there on your outline. One day, as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, that's Simon Peter, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. Now get the picture. Jesus is already attracting enormous crowds because they want to hear him teach. They're fascinated by this man. He's doing miracles. He's healing people. And crowds are following him everywhere went, and they're pressing up against him. Jesus sees these two boats and these tired fishermen. And he says, "Let me get in one of your boats and push out a little bit from the shore," and he sits down and he teaches the crowd on the shore from a little ways out in the boat. Now, why is he doing this? Well, there are a number of different reasons. In the first place, water amplifies your voice. If you've ever been in a boat, you know you can speak much further across a lake than you can on ground because ground absorbs sound waves. And so by pushing out in the boat and talking to people on the shore, that water actually amplified his voice, and there certainly weren't any, loudspeakers at the time. And so it's a smart communication tool, so he can speak to hundreds, maybe thousands of people who were on the shore listening to Jesus. But there's actually a couple of more important reasons. Jesus is about to choose these four guys as his first four disciples. He's going to ask them to leave their business and follow him. And so he's planning to do a miracle in their work, a miracle they will understand, a miracle of fish to a bunch of fishermen. Now, in verse 4, it says this, when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now launch out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Now remember, they've just fished all night. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. You ever felt like this? I worked all night and I haven't caught anything. Haven't made a sale, haven't closed a deal, haven't sold a house, haven't stepped up. In fact, I'm out of work right now. We've worked all night and we've caught nothing. You can hear the discouragement in his voice. Now, sometimes this happens in life. Sometimes you give it your best shot and you still come up 10 feet short. Sometimes you work hard and you work diligent and you work long and you got nothing to show for it. We've worked all night and we've caught nothing. Sometimes you even do what you think is the right thing to do in your job, in your career, and you make a decision. You may even think God's leading you to do it, and it doesn't pan out. I'm supposed to go start this business, and it falls apart. And all of these things where you think God is leading you in this way, and it doesn't happen. Sometimes you hang in there with your marriage, and you struggle. Maybe you get some counsel and you read books and you really try to make the thing work, but you don't see any improvement at all. It just isn't getting any better. Sometimes you study for an exam. Some of you are studying for an exam to pass a bar exam or a realtor's exam, or maybe you're in school and you're working on exams there and you study hard and you do it your best and still you don't pass. That happens in life. You've worked hard all night and you caught nothing. You see, the fact is this miracle has a lot to teach us because everybody's fishing for something. Sometimes we're fishing for approval. And we're looking out there and we're trying to find somebody to just love us. Nothing wrong with that. Maybe you didn't get that approval growing up and you're just looking for somebody who will treat you with respect. You're looking for somebody who will love you and value you for who you are. You're looking for somebody who will treat you with dignity and care for you. Maybe you're fishing for security. Nothing wrong with that. Maybe you're fishing for significance. I want my life to count. Nothing wrong with that. Maybe you're fishing for, a wife or a husband. Nothing wrong with that. Maybe you're out of work and you're fishing for a job. You say, I need work. Or you're fishing for a new means of income because the brook dried up, like we talked about a couple weeks ago in that miracle. There's nothing wrong with it. Everybody's fishing for something. Now, this miracle teaches us, what do you do when you come up empty? When you've been fishing all night and you don't see any results from it. This is a very powerful miracle. Now, when these fishermen, these four guys, did what Jesus tells them to do in this miracle, they not only receive a miracle, but they are blessed more than they can handle. They have to actually share it with other people, and their lives are changed forever. So Jesus uses Simon Peter's boat as a platform to preach the good news. Then the Bible tells us the rest of the story. Look up here on the screen. After Jesus finished speaking, he said to Simon, now, launch out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch. The Bible says that when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. Now, that's a lot of fish. And it says, so they signaled to their partners, that's James and John in the other boat, to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats so full with fish that they began to sink. Now, friends, that's a fish story. Okay, you're not going to top that one. I'm not going to top that one. That's a flat-out miracle. Here's the point. They caught more in 10 minutes than they had caught in 10 hours. This is what's called a miracle of acceleration, where God speeds up the process. And when you understand the principle of a miracle of acceleration, you don't worry about timing. You may go a month or 2 months or a year or 2 years without work. It doesn't really matter because God can turn on a faucet like that as quickly as one got turned off. And the fact is, God can do more in 10 minutes in your life than you can do in 10 years. If you will do it the way he tells you to do it. Now, what makes the difference? This is the point. What makes the difference between working all night and coming up empty on your own and having so much blessing in your life, you're sinking from it? It's too much. Too much blessing. So much blessing in your life, materially, you have to spread it around. You have to share it around. You're going to sink under the load. What made the difference between emptiness and overflowing? Well, Jesus says in the book of Matthew, he says, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. And the disciples did four things. They took four steps of faith. You need to learn these steps of faith when you're going through the difficult times, when you're coming up empty in your job. Let's look at them. Number one, the first thing you need to do that Peter and Andrew and James and John did is you need to give Jesus complete access to my life. I give Jesus complete access to my life if I want to turn from emptiness to overflowing. Now notice it says in verse 3 there, Luke chapter 5, Jesus got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him to put out a little from shore, and then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. Now here's the starting point. Pretty simple. You got to get Jesus in your boat. That's the starting point. If you want to move from emptiness to fullness, you've got to get Jesus in your boat. Now notice, they've worked all night and caught nothing in 10 hours, and now in 10 minutes they're catching more than they can handle. What's different here? It's the same lake. It's the same boat. It's the same nets. It's the same fishermen. It's the same partners. It's the same fish. The only thing that's different between nothing and fullness is Jesus is in the boat. Do you think that makes a difference? Oh, yeah. Jesus is in the boat. Now, this is a game changer. Now God is with them. They're not fishing by themselves anymore. They're not in their career by themselves anymore. They've got Jesus on the job. They've got their business has got the master in control here. Now let's apply this, and this is a game changer. Okay, first, what's your boat? What is your boat? Your boat is how you make a living. That's what it is. It's how you make a living. It's your means of support. Simon's business is his boat. He's a fisherman. Simon's business is his boat. He gives his boat to Jesus. He gives his job to Jesus. He gives his, the boat represents your career, your vocation, your profession, your job. It represented Simon Peter's entire livelihood. And what's your boat? It's how you make a living. Royalties, commissions, salary, or whatever. Number two, what does it mean to have Jesus in your boat? It means you dedicate your career to God. We're not talking about salvation here. You have Jesus in your life, but a lot of you don't have Jesus in your job. You've trusted him for salvation, and you come in the weekend, and you praise God, but when you go back to work during the week, you put Jesus on the shelf, and Jesus is nowhere to be found in your job, and he's certainly not using it as a platform for ministry. To give your boat to Jesus means you say, Jesus, use my job as your platform. I dedicate my career to you for your use. Now, when Peter did this, when he gave his job to Jesus for his use, he gets blessed too with incredible results. But don't miss the sequence. See, here's what we say. We normally think, God, make me a really great success in business, and then I'll serve you with the success. Wrong. It's the exact opposite. God, use my job or lack of it now, and then the success can come. It's the exact opposite. First, Peter lets Jesus use his job for his platform. And then Jesus blesses Peter's job with enormous success. That's the order. It's not, make me a success and then I'll serve you. It's the exact opposite. God, I'm failing in my job, but I give it to you as a platform, and now you can bless it. You see, this is what Matthew 6:33 says. Seek ye first, not second, third, fourth, or fifth. Seek first the kingdom of God, not success, not satisfaction, not a salary. Seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these other things will be added unto you. You got to get the priorities right. You got to get Jesus in the boat. And when you do that, then he takes care of your needs. Whatever you want God to bless, you put him first in. You want God to bless your time, you give him the first part of every day. You want God to bless your week, you give him the first day of every week. You want God to bless your money, you give him the first 10% of your money, no matter how little it is. I went through 3 years of graduate school making $800 a month combined in our family, and we still tied 10%. Why? Because I couldn't afford not to have God's blessing in my life. I needed God's blessing. So whatever you want God to put in first in your life, you put him first in your life, then he'll bless that. And so you get Jesus in your work. And what you say is, okay, here, Lord, you use my business as your platform to spread the good news, and then we'll let God take care of everything else. So you say, I'm really a missionary. What do? You say, I'm a missionary. I'm seeking first the kingdom of God. I'm a missionary disguised as a realtor. I'm a missionary disguised as a nanny. I'm a missionary disguised as an accountant. I'm a missionary disguised as a truck driver. I'm a missionary disguised as a nurse or a CEO or a teacher or a house cleaner or whatever it is. I'm first and foremost using my career as a platform for Jesus. And then he'll bless me in return. Now, question, have you committed your boat to Jesus? See, some of you are going through tough times right now and you're trying to change everything else. They didn't need to change their nets. They didn't need to change their boat. They didn't need to change their business partners. They didn't need to change their location. They didn't need to change their marriage. They just needed Jesus in charge of the boat. That's what was needed. Some of you are trying to change everything else. Some of you think, well, maybe I need to move out of Orange County. Well, maybe, but not necessarily. Maybe you just need to get Jesus in charge of your boat. And that's the first step. Now, here's the second step. The second step is I admit that my efforts aren't working. I admit my efforts aren't working. In verse 4 and 5, it says, when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water, launch out now, and let down the nets for a catch. And Simon Peter answered, Master, we've worked hard all night, and we haven't caught anything. Now, do you realize how hard it was for Peter to say this? Peter is a pro. He's good at what he does. He's a professional fisherman. These guys are not amateurs. They are not novices. They're not weekend fishermen. They make a living at this. They know how to do this. But sometimes, even when you're a pro, you fish all night and you catch nothing. It's humbling to say this. It's hard to say this. They made their living catching fish. This Peter not catching any fish is like Kobe Bryant playing an entire game and never making a basket. It would be like Tiger Woods playing a round of golf and never sinking a putt. Not a few extra strokes, not even a single putt. This is quite humbling. And the truth is, they're doing their best. These are good guys. They're doing their very best. But friends, sometimes our best is not good enough. It's just not good enough. And sometimes there are situations that are out of our control. You can't control the economy. You can't control the weather. You can't control the, you know, a lot of things in life that'll affect your life. What other people do, diseases, and you can't stop the aging process. Most of the major things in your life, you can't control. And so you start thinking, you know, I have tried so hard, it just doesn't seem to make any difference. And I've worked so hard, but I've got so little to show for it. What do you need to do? Well, you need to first do these two things. You get Jesus in your boat, and you admit that your way isn't working. It isn't working. That's humbling. The Bible calls that confession. Now, why don't we want to admit this? I don't want to admit it. You don't want to admit it. Why don't we want to admit it? Well, there are three reasons I don't want to admit it when it's not working. Pride, stubbornness, and fear. I don't want to admit it because of pride, because I don't want anybody to think that I can't handle it. If it's to be, it's up to me. I'm in charge. I got it all together. It's all copacetic. And pride keeps me from admitting this step too. I think I can handle everything by myself. And I just say, well, we'll work 11 hours tomorrow night and 12 hours the next night and 13 hours the next night. Stubbornness. Stubbornness is when I'm unwilling to change the way I'm doing it. And when we phrase it, well, we've always done it this way. You see, the greatest enemy of tomorrow's success is yesterday's success. Because we're not in yesterday anymore. You got to do it differently now. And Jesus will tell you the way to do it. Yesterday's success will keep you from success today. This is traditionalism. It's stubbornism. It happens to pastors. It happens to spiritual leaders. It happened to Moses. Moses is leading the children of Israel out of Egypt to go to Israel. It should take them 2 weeks, and it takes them 40 years to cross the Sinai Desert. And out there in that 40 years of wandering, at one point they run out of water, so God says, okay, I'm going to do a miracle. And he says, I'm going to surprise everybody. And he said, Moses, I want you to go over, and I want you to strike the rock with the rod. Strike the rock, and water comes gushing out, you know, an artesian well, comes out of the rock and provides water for the entire nation of Israel, which is an amazing miracle. Later on, they have another water problem, and they run out again. And so Moses thinks, well, that's no problem. We'll just do it like we did last time. We'll just find a rock, and we'll strike it. And God says, no, we're not going to do it that way this time. I want you this time to speak to the rock. Because remember, every miracle has a truth behind it. And I don't have time to go into this, but there's a parallel here of Jesus was struck once on the cross, but not twice. And there's a meaning. And God does everything for a purpose. But Moses, God says to Moses, I want you to speak to the rock this time, not strike it. And Moses says, but Lord, we've never done it that way. I'm famous as a rock striker. Okay? I mean, the whole nation saw this incredible miracle. I strike rocks and water comes out. I'm a rock striker. And it is that traditionalism, and God says, don't you do it. And Moses did it anyway. He did it the same way he did it the first time. And God got mad and said, Moses, that was a sin. And because of that, you don't get to go into the promised land. It was traditionalism. It was refusing to change. It was refusing to do it God's way and wanting to do it the way he'd always done it that kept Moses out of the promised land. You got to be willing to change.
Hey, thanks so much for being with us today and listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. And I hope you were as blessed as I was from today's show. And now here's Rick to tell you about today's offer.
Hi, everybody.
Did you know that God has a dream for your life? And that dream is bigger than anything you could ever possibly dream up yourself or think of on your own. I want to help you discover God's dream for your life. So I've written a new book called Created to Dream, the 6 phases God uses to grow your faith. Now, this book will help you identify God's dream for your life and teach you how to navigate the 6 phases that God is going to take you through as you pursue your life dream. It's important to understand this process because otherwise you're going to get discouraged and you might even quit when your dream isn't realized right away. The Bible is full of stories about people whose God-given dreams became a reality, but it didn't happen until they first went through the 6 phases of faith. God uses these delays and difficulties and even dead ends to deepen your faith and teach you how to trust Him. And as you pursue your dream, you're going to start living that full and abundant life that God created you to live. Now, why does God use these 6 phases of faith? Well, it helps you see His presence in your life, and it teaches you how to trust Him in every stage of life. Now, friends, this is the first book I've written in 10 years, and I don't want you to miss out on God's best for your life, or I don't want you to give up on your dream before you reach it. So I'd like to send you a copy of Created to Dream, the 6 phases God uses to grow your faith. When you give a gift today to help us at Daily Hope, share the hope of Jesus with people around the world. We appreciate your prayers and your financial support so much. Have I told you lately that I love you? I do. God bless you.
To get this great resource, it's really easy. You just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy. That's PastorRick.com. Or just text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, the word HOPE to 70309. And thanks so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope means so much to us because it helps us share the hope of Jesus Christ to people all around the world. Hey, be sure to join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.